Federal Police Diagram. Chalk drawings found at the scene of Lily Whiting's disappearance. Figure number 1. Identified by Professor Fitch as an example of the Mattson defense. Note the broken lines and many scratches, indicative of a large number of chalklings surrounding and attacking the perimeter. Figure number 2. Unknown figure. Appears to be a cross between a line of vigor and a line of forbiddance, with a straight line drawn down the middle of a sine wave. But the wave has points at its peaks rather than smooth curves. Figure number 3. Strange looping pattern with 4 lobes found on outside wall of building. Chapter 11. The next morning, Joel rose early and left for Fitch's office. As he crossed the dew-wetted green, he heard a clamor coming from the direction of the campus office. He rounded the hill to find a small crowd outside the building. A crowd of adults, not students. Frowning, Joel walked to the edge of the crowd. Exton stood to the side, wearing a red vest with dark trousers and a matching bowler. The rest of the people were dressed similarly. Nice clothing with bright single-piece dresses for the women, and vests and trousers for the men. None wore coats in the summer heat, but most wore hats. The adults muttered among themselves, a few shaking fists toward Principal York, who stood in the doorway of the office. "What's going on?" Joel whispered to Exton. The clerk tapped his cane against the ground as he spoke.
"Parents," he said, "the bane of every school's existence. I assure you that your children are safe at Armedius," the principal said. "This academy has always been a haven for those chosen to be arithmetists."
"Safe like Lily and Herman?" one of the parents yelled. Others rumbled in assent.
"Please," Principal York said, "we don't know what is happening yet. Don't jump to conclusions."
"Principal York," said a woman with a narrow face and a nose pointy enough it could poke out someone's eye if she turned in haste, "are you denying that there is some threat to the students here?"
"I am not denying that," York said. "I simply said that they are safe on campus. No student has come to harm while on school grounds. It was only during visits outside the walls that incidents occurred."
"I am taking my son away," one of the men said. "To another island. You can't stop me."
"The ordinary students can leave for the summer," said another. "Why not ours?"
"The arithmetic students need training," York said. "You know that. If we act rashly now, we could undermine their ability to defend themselves at Nebraska."
This quieted them somewhat. However, Joel heard one father muttering to another.
"He doesn't care," the man said. "York isn't an arithmetist. If they die here or die in Nebraska, what is it to him?"
Joel noticed a few sharply dressed men standing quietly to the side, making no complaints. They wore vests of muted colors and triangular felt hats. He couldn't make out any signs of emotion on their features. York finally managed to break up and dismiss the group of parents. As the people trailed away, the men walked up to Principal York.
"Who are they?" Joel asked.
"Private security," Exton whispered back. "The ones on the left are employed by Dietrich Calloway, Knight Senator of East Carolina. His son is arithmetist here. I don't know the other ones, but I suspect they're employed by some very influential people who also have arithmetist children here at Armedius."
The principal looked troubled.
"He's going to have to let them go, isn't he?" Joel asked. "The children are the very important."
"Likely," Exton said. "Principal York has a lot of influence, but if he butts heads with a Knight Senator, there's little doubt who will win."
A small group of arithmetic students watched from a hillside a short distance away. Joel couldn't tell if their miserable expressions came from the fact that they were worried about the kidnappings, or if they were embarrassed at having their parents show up at school. Probably both.
"Very well,"
Joel faintly heard Principal York say from the office doorway.
"I see that I have no choice. Know that you do this against my wishes."
Joel turned to Exton. "Has anyone sent for Inspector Harding?"
"I don't believe so," Exton said. "I couldn't even get into the office. They were here before I was, crowding the way in.
Send Harding a messenger, Joel suggested. He might want to hear about the parents' reactions.
Yes, Exton said, watching the security men with obvious hostility. Yes, that's a good idea. This isn't going to do much to ease tensions on campus, I'd say. If those students weren't afraid before, they will be now.
Joel moved away toward Fitch's office, passing James Hovell, being walked by his parents to class. He walked with shoulders slumped, eyes toward the ground in embarrassment. Perhaps there were advantages to having a mother who worked all the time. Fitch took a long time to answer Joel's knock. When he did pull open the door, he looked bleary-eyed, still wearing a blue dressing gown.
Oh,
Fitch said.
Joel, what hour is it?
Joel winced, realizing that Fitch had probably been up late studying those strange patterns.
I'm sorry for waking you, Joel said. I was eager to find out if you discovered anything. About the patterns, I mean.
Fitch yawned.
No, unfortunately. But it wasn't for lack of trying, I must say. I dug out the other version of that pattern, the one copied from Lily's house, and tried to determine if there were any variations. I drew 100 different modifications on the theme. I'm sorry, lad. I just don't think it's arithmetic line.
I've seen it somewhere before, Joel said. I know I have, Professor. Maybe I should go to the library, look through some of the books I've read recently.
Yes. Yes,
Fitch said, yawning again.
Sounds like a capital idea.
Joel nodded, heading toward the library and letting the professor go back to sleep. As he crossed the green toward the central quad, he noticed one of the parents from before, the woman with the sharp nose and pinched face, standing on the green, hands on hips, looking lost.
You, she called to him. I don't know the campus very well. Can you tell me where I might find a Professor Fitch?
Joel pointed toward the building behind him.
Office 3, up the stairwell on the side. What do you want him for?
My son mentioned him, she said. I just wanted to chat with him for a short time, ask him about things here. Thank you.
Joel arrived at the library and pushed open the door, passing out of the crisp morning air into a place that somehow managed to be dank and musty, even during the warmest summer days. The library didn't have many windows, sunlight wasn't good for books, and so depended on clockwork lanterns. Joel walked through the stacks, making his way to the familiar section dedicated to general interest books on arithmetics, both fiction and non-fiction. He'd read a lot of these, pretty much everything in the library that he was allowed access to. If he really had seen that pattern somewhere, it could have been in any of these. He opened one book he remembered checking out a few weeks ago. He only vaguely recalled it at first, but as he flipped through, he shivered. It was an adventure novel about arithmetists in Nebraska. He stopped on a page, reading, almost against his will, paragraphs on a man being gruesomely eaten by wild chucklings. They crawled up his skin under his clothing. They only had 2 dimensions, after all, and chewed his flesh from his bones. The account was fictionalized and overly dramatic. Still, it made Joel feel sick. He wanted very badly to be involved in Professor Fitch's work. And yet, if Joel were to face an army of chucklings, he wouldn't be able to build himself a defense. The creatures would crawl right over his lines and get at him. He'd be no better off than the man in the book. He shook himself free from imaginings of chucklings scrambling up and down his body. He had wanted this. If he was really going to become a scholar of arithmetics, if that was his goal, he'd have to live with the idea that it could be dangerous and he would not be able to defend himself. He put the novel away. It had no illustrations and moved to the nonfiction section. Here, he grabbed a stack of books that looked familiar and walked to a study desk at the side of the room. An hour of searching left Joel feeling even more frustrated than when he'd started. He groaned, sitting back, stretching. Perhaps he was just chasing shadows, looking for a connection to his own life so that he could prove useful to Fitch. It seemed to him that his memory of the pattern was older than this. Familiar, but from a long, long time ago. He had a good memory,
particularly when it came to arithmetics. He gathered his current stack of books and walked back toward the shelves to return them. As he did so, a man in a bright red arithmetic coat walked into the library. Professor Nalazar, Joel thought. I sure hope that someday some upstart young arithmetist challenges him to a duel and takes away his tenure. The first student hadn't disappeared until Nalazar arrived at the school. Joel hesitated, considering that fact. It's just a coincidence, Joel thought. Don't jump to conclusions. And yet, hadn't Nalazar talked about how dangerous the battlefield in Nebraska was? He thought the students and professors at Armedius were weak. Would he go so far as to do something to make everyone more worried? Something to put them all on edge and make them study and practice more? But kidnapping? Joel thought. That's a stretch. Still, it would be interesting to know what books Nalazar was looking at. Joel caught sight of a swish of red coat entering the arithmetic wing of the library. He hurried after Nalazar. As soon as Joel reached the doorway to the arithmetic wing, a voice called out to him.
Joel, said Ms. Torrance, sitting at her desk, you know you're not supposed to go in there.
Joel stopped, cringing. He'd hoped she wouldn't be paying attention. Librarians seemed to have a sixth sense for noticing when students were doing things they weren't supposed to. I just saw Professor Nalazar, Joel said. I wanted to go mention something to him.
You can't enter the arithmetic section of the library without an escort, Joel, Torrance said, stamping pages in a book, not looking up at him. No exceptions.
He ground his teeth in frustration. Escort, he thought suddenly. Would Fitch help? Joel rushed out of the library but realized that Fitch might still not be dressed or might have returned to bed. By the time Joel got the man back to the library, Nalazar would probably be gone. Beyond that, he suspected that Fitch would disapprove of spying on Nalazar. He might even be afraid to do so. Joel needed someone who was more willing to take a risk. It was still breakfast time, and the dining hall was just a short distance away. I can't believe I'm doing this, he thought, but took off at a dash for the dining hall.